It's good to be in action, but make sure you're setting the direction of the product as well, and you're getting chances to make key decisions.
Hey, hello, and welcome to episode 5 of How to Product, a podcast series catered to folks looking to break into product management, brought to you by PM School. This is Arjav Jain, your host for this podcast series. You all have been giving us a lot of love, and I've received numerous LinkedIn DMs about how the podcast is helping them get familiar with the PM role. We at PM School are humbled, and thank you for the support. PM School is India's best upskilling platform for aspiring product managers. PM School alums are making waves in the product ecosystem. Their alums are now PMs at the likes of Byju's, ShareChat, ClassPlus, Zeta, PayPal, among the many other. Apply for the next cohort now. You can go to pmschool.io and check out the live program. Today we have with us someone you all should be able to relate to if you're trying to break into the role. I've had multiple conversations with this guest, and she gives off really strong, confident vibes about wanting to make it big as a PM. So sit back and enjoy this one. We have with us Anushka Pathak, Associate PM at Flipkart. She's a Triple E grad from BITS, and she joined the Flipkart APM program right out of college. She was also a product intern at Graphy, which is a startup by an academy, and she was also an intern at Hilti in Kuala Lumpur. Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Arjav, and thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
Awesome. So before we begin, just tell us a little bit about what you love about product management and something interesting about you that our listeners don't know.
Yeah, sure. Something that I really love about PMing is the people aspect. I just love how collaborative PMing is, how I get to work with people across teams. So they're devs, designers, business folks. And I just love bringing it all together to solve a problem. Of course, I also love brainstorming and solving problems with other PMs. I really do love the user angle as well. Users as people, I love that. So my favorite moments so far have been talking to users and hearing them talk about how my products have solved a problem for them and really made their lives better. Mm-hmm. So I was on the seller side for a while in Flipkart, and I really loved calling them up because the Flipkart product is such an essential part of their life and livelihood. They were great partners to work with. Something interesting about me. So I actually started learning the ropes of PMing before I even knew what PMing was. I had a failed startup back in college, and in retrospect, the role I was playing there was a PM. Mm-hmm. I only found out once placements came around, and I found out that this is a full-time role and you get to pay this, and I was kind of overjoyed. So yeah, I've always loved PMing.
Super, yeah. So I think the people aspect stands out quite a bit in every PM role in any organization, right? Basically, a PM is a people person and you're talking to people all day. So you have to enjoy that, doing that for sure. Super. So let's address the elephant in the room, right? Tell us more about what an APM really does.
Sure, let's get into that. So an APM usually plays the same role as a PM. It's just with a lot more mentorship and support. We start small, we own small items, but we ramp up pretty quickly into owning end-to-end problem areas quite independently. Mm-hmm. I think some of the audience here might be college kids who aren't really familiar with what PMing itself is.
Right.
So I'll quickly cover that. I'll just align it with the recruitment process so you understand while preparing that the rounds you're going through, how they actually connect back to the things you do on the job. Before that, at a very, very fundamental level, PMing, or hence APMing, it's just solving problems with technology.
Right.
Now, the first step to doing that is actually finding the problems to solve. You can do this quantitatively or qualitatively. So you can look at data and be like, okay, here is where the problem lies and this is what I'm going to solve.
Right.
Or you can talk to users. You can talk to users and you can hear from them what they would like solved. You'll be doing a lot of this in your APM program, of course, whatever APM role you play.
Right.
And also this is usually tested in the recruitment process. Now, once you understand problems to solve, you should be able to define them, articulate them very clearly, then further break them into small chunks that are more solvable and prioritize what to solve, right? I think another really important part at this point is actually defining the why and the objective of the product. Defining what success is and what success criteria or what the metrics that define success are. Yeah. So I think most of this comes under the problem solving rounds in recruitment. Moving ahead, of course, you found the problem, you have to solve it. So product thinking is usually the skill that's tested. And in the job, what that looks like is you come up with feasible solutions. You really go into depth here. You come up with details of how that would be implemented, and you prioritize over here as well.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, you've come up with the plans, strategies, ideas, but execution is what actually brings it to life. So you'll have to work with people across the organization to bring these solutions to life. There'll be some aspects of project management here. So planning when what is released.
Of course.
Yeah, you learn that plans need to be flexible, and you really have to change your ideas and details on the go. There'll be a lot of firefighting. You'll probably have to get people on the same page. So a key skill is communication. It's this is not tested separately. It reflects throughout your interview process.
Correct.
Yeah, but the tech round is something that aligns with this stage, the execution stage. Usually people just check in tech rounds whether you can actually talk to an engineer and get your point across. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth thing that you might be doing as an APM in any company is actually looking at the launch, go-to-market cycle, like iterating post-launch as well. Some roles might have a marketing flavor. Mine did. So when I came up with the product, I really worked with seller marketing to position it with the sellers, run campaigns to get it, discovery. Yeah. And I think the fifth and final thing would be some aspects of long-term thinking, strategy, and roadmap making. Most APMs will definitely not jump into this early on. We're still learning the ropes of product management. But once you've spent some time in your domain and you're comfortable with the product, you've done some launches in it, I think you should start getting into the strategy, try to shape the product going ahead, and lay down some long-term plans. So by the end of my first stint at FCAPE at Flipkart, which was a year long, I was able to create a one-year roadmap for the product that I had launched.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think at most organizations, APMs would usually have a good mix of product thinking and execution. You should be able to launch stuff and see it work, see it break, see its impact. I feel like APM should have a good mix of small incremental changes. So in your early days, have some launches which just take 1-2 months to build. And maybe one or two larger projects for the entire year. So that you start working on in the early days. Now the role itself, I think, would differ drastically based on company size or stage, the life cycle of the product you're in. Like, is it pre-product market fit? Is it a mature product where you're just improving it? Also the domain. So is it fintech, edtech? I think all of that makes a lot of difference into the APM role.
But, it does, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, the basics would more or less stay the same, I'd say. I think also as the youngest member in the product team, sometimes in all the teams put together, you'll really have to keep things high energy, fun. I mean, I've been organizing quizzes and stuff like that. So yeah, just make the workplace more fun, right?
I agree. The APMs on my team keep us on our toes. So yeah.
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, we're young folks. People expect us to be high energy, and rightly so. So yeah. Just a very quick note on what APMs are not.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to remember that you're not just an execution arm. So you'll write user stories, you'll be following up, you'll be unblocking developers. It's good to be in action, but make sure you're setting the direction of the product as well, and you're getting chances to make key decisions. You're really influencing the product, getting your own flavor into the product. The other thing, it's less likely to happen, but I've heard of this as well. So execution is super important, right?
Yeah.
Make sure you're not just doing analysis and doing idea brainstorming and just doing the thinking part. You're actually getting your hands dirty and taking products to launch and collaborating with other stakeholders. Make sure you get enough opportunities to do that as well. For me, at least, this was one of the key things that drew me to PMing. The fact that I don't just come up with strategies and ideas, but I can actually bring them to life. I can take them to execution and figure out what could have been better in my ideas and strategies.
Right, yes. I think I loved how you broke it down and connected it to the recruitment process, right? So just to summarize, problem solving, product thinking, execution, go-to-market, and long-term strategic muscle building, right? These are things that APMs need to focus on. Strategy is something that they will build on over a period of time. And to reiterate what APMs are not, they're not execution arms for a product team. So please do ask to be involved in calls with senior and principal PMs in your strategy discussions and understand why certain decisions are being made, and that'll make you a better PM and prepare you for that promotion to a PM or an SPM, right? And to talk about specifically, what do you do as an APM at Flipkart? What does that role look like for you?
Right. So at Flipkart in specific, APM is not just a role, it's a rotational program.
Okay.
So we rotate through two teams for a year each. I just finished my first rotation. That was in the marketplace team, which is a supply side team. And Flipkart sellers are our primary users. We built for them, like I had mentioned earlier. So within marketplace, I worked in the selection charter, where we looked at the breadth of the supply, the variety of products on Flipkart. So how do I make sure that anything a user could possibly want in India that is present on Flipkart, right? However right. small quantity, however small the demand for it is. So I worked on the data and platform side of things here. So I was essentially working on how we can define, measure, and acquire this new selection better. There were a lot of algorithmic incremental changes, like I mentioned earlier, things that take 1-2 months end right. to end, but really helps you understand the area and get some confidence making those launches. The larger piece that I owned here was this product called Listing Opportunities. It was new. It essentially gives recommendations to sellers on what to sell. It's super personalized. It helps them improve their business by a lot. And of course, it helps us improve our selection. So as a seller on this product, if you're selling clothes, it'll be able to tell you which are the new clothes, which are in trend okay. and would really give you a lot of business boost, right? I built it out from near scratch. Took me about the whole year. I launched it, I did all the marketing and stuff, I was involved there, and I also worked on scaling it from like a small group of beta testers to the entire seller base.
Okay.
Then I moved on to my second stint. It's been about a month now. My second team is Flipkart Grocery. It's a new venture within Flipkart, so it's very fast, exciting. It's quite happening here. I'm really liking it so far. My charter here is Growth Hacks. And it's essentially growth hacking. It's quick, small features that might move some key metrics. I might be looking at up to 30 features simultaneously. They might be at different points in the life cycle, from idea, design, dev, to launch and post-launch stuff. Altogether, yeah, maybe 30 growth hacks at a time.
Okay.
Lots of A-B testing, lots of quick thinking. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I think it's aligned with the APMs at Byju's also. So they're owning stuff end to end. While they've got mentorship from some of the principal PMs or AVP of product, right? So basically, as an APM, you got to work on small incremental changes and measure impact. But at the same time, you also got an opportunity to create like a massive impact by launching a 0-1 product, which you were telling about, right? Under the guidance of a group PM. This gives our listeners a great view into what an APM does at any organization. And so thanks for sharing your story. Right. So I remember my college days, and at that time I had no idea that there's this role called a product manager, but of course there's more awareness about this now, right? So how did you go about deciding that you wanted to take up PMing in undergrad college?
I do feel like PMing and APM roles in general have gotten really popular in undergrad colleges very, very recently, and they're really catching on right now. I mean, you would know this, right? You're with PM school, and right. I think people are really excited about it. So when I was in my final year, even I did not really know what a PM does or what a PMing career could be like. And I think more importantly, if it was for me, if I could really do well in this domain. I heard about it only when Flipkart came to hire.
Okay.
Quickly looked up what the job really means, and more importantly, what the hiring process is like. So what I realized was a couple of things. The first one, that it really aligned with the role I played in my startup, right? So I already knew for a fact that I enjoyed this. I had done some of it, and I had a knack for it. The second thing was the process. I looked at a few product cases, and I realized the cases were quite similar to consulting, which was something I knew about and I was preparing for.
Okay.
So I just gave it a shot and I got the role. The preparation was very fun, which was a good sign. So if you are confused about PMing being the career for you, just go and check out the product thinking questions, the product cases. And if you think those would be fun to solve in an interview, they'll definitely be fun to solve in the real job. So
yep.
do give it a shot if you're confused. That's to our listeners, of course. You don't really need to know how to code to become a PM. And there are not too many hard skills like knowing softwares or languages to get in. So yeah, it's pretty much around problem solving and product thinking. So do give it a shot if you're interested. Yeah. Something that was unique to my situation was the fact that I had been preparing for CAT alongside. And I had an MBA admit from IIM Calcutta. So I had to kind of weigh those options against each other. Do I go for an MBA at an IIM right away? Or do I join the APM program?
Right.
And of course, I ended up joining APM. Mostly because APM is a fast track into the same post-MBA PM roles. And the learnings in the APM program are so much more aligned to PMing.
Makes sense.
So you actually learn on the job, right?
Yeah.
And I think more personally, I was itching to go make some impact. I figured I could go learn on the job. So I'd say that, yeah, if you like solving problems with tech, if you're excited about tech, if you're excited about solving problems, creating some impact, definitely go out there, try out product interns. Maybe get an APM role before you actually go for an MBA. Don't go for an MBA right out of college if you're sure you want to get into PMing. Give it a shot first. It's getting better now. A lot of companies are willing to hire undergrads, both as PM interns or as APM. So do reach out to the founders. There's so many new startups in India now. So do reach out to startups, small companies, and try to get PM internships, try to get an APM role. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I think something that you said where you don't need to know how to code, it's mainly a soft skill sort of a job, and you don't need an MBA either, right? So just if it's a soft skill job, so if you think you've got the knack for it, do it. In the PM world, we basically say things are due as of yesterday. So the message from this is basically don't wait and jump into it if you think you're made for it, right? Since you moved into an APM role from undergrad, I also want to know, how did your undergrad at BITS help you in your product journey, and how can our listeners sort of make the most of their undergrad programs to become PMs?
Yeah. I did a degree in EEE back at BITS. That was not the part that helped. But I think everything else about BITS being terrific, and it's really helping me in my job. I think the most important part about BITS was the fact that I had a diverse set of peers.
Okay.
And I could really experience teamwork and stakeholder management with people from different domains, right? So I have friends who are engineers, of course. I mean, in engineering college, I had folks who were really into development, AI, ML, etc. Some of my friends were also into design, UI, UX.
Okay.
A lot of friends were into finance, business, ops, those sort of roles. And we could collaborate for competitions, make a team of people with complementary skill sets,
right,
and actually have a full stack team, right? I don't think that's really possible in an MBA. People are similarly aligned. You're not going to have AI ML developers in an MBA program. And the teams you create in an engineering college in your undergrad, they can actually be full stack. So do try to do that. Do try to make products or go for competitions with your peers who have very different skill sets. So yeah, I mean, because of this, when I came to Flipkart, I was already super comfortable talking to developers or designers because I'd done that for a couple of years. The other thing I think that really helped me with BITS was just the amount of exposure and the opportunities to explore stuff. I think BITS culture in general, but most engineering colleges in India, people try a lot of different things. So I tried engineering. I did a couple of engineering interns before I moved to business development. And after my fourth year, before I joined my job, I did a product internship finally. Right. So there were a lot of opportunities. There were a lot of competitions I could take part in. And I made full use of that. We made a lot of products for competitions. There were a lot of seniors for guidance, both college seniors and alumni in all of these product roles out there in the industry that I could reach out to. I think also something cool about BITS is like the culture of constant innovation. Everyone's hearing about all the startups that come out of BITS, but if you're on campus, you see that people do that generally. People just get together in groups and people are brainstorming, people are participating in competitions, people are thinking up startup ideas all the time.
Interesting.
And what you learn there is you learn to be really audacious, to think big, and you learn to think from first principles because there's nobody teaching us frameworks or how to solve problems. We are figuring out the fastest and best way as we go along.
Right? That's true. Yeah.
So that was fun about Bits. And I think, yeah, the third thing at Bits or in college in general is just that it's such a low risk environment. It's so easy to fail. It's so easy to get resources and support, and you have absolutely nothing to lose. You have so much time at hand. Bits has 0% attendance, and not ashamed to say I made full use of that. So yeah, I mean, we had so much time. We got together, we created tons and tons of MVPs, and people on the campus were always ready to be beta testers. I think college kids in general are great early adopters. They're willing to try out new stuff. They're not too scared to use new apps. So yeah, we used the ready pool of beta testers and college resources and student discounts to the full. Yeah.
Yeah. So to summarize, basically any undergrad college basically has a very sort of diverse audience. And you had the good fortune of being in a place like Bits where there's probably more diversity and already a culture of innovation sort of available there, right? But to everybody out there, use your college diversity to your advantage and speak to different kinds of people. Start building products that solve immediate needs for you. So like an example being, you could probably create a cafeteria food ordering app, right? And that'll help you think of use cases and come up with an MVP for this product. So that really helps you, right? Super, thanks for that. Any more information you'd like to give to the folks interested to breaking into this role directly from an undergrad college? And before I let you go, you can tell us that.
Yeah, I mean, I think all I'd like to add is just go for it. It's such a dynamic and fun role. You'll learn a lot and you'll have opportunities to create massive impact, to work with really smart people. I just say take care of a few things to figure out where you want to work, where do you want to go become an APM, right? Three things. The first is mentorship. Make sure there are people in the team that you can look up to and learn from, and they're also willing to spend their time on your development, because you're not going to be new to just PMing, you're new to jobs in general.
Correct.
You have to understand the corporate environment from scratch. So yeah, mentors make such a huge difference.
Mentorship in general, I would say, like even for me as a senior PM right now, I still have mentors and will continue to have mentors throughout my career, right? So mentorship is something that will last for sure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely do look out for that. Look out for cultures where there is a possibility for you to get great mentors, right?
Right.
The second thing is ownership and a sense of independence. So however small, make sure you're solving something independently end to end. Remember that you're an associate product manager. You're not an associate or assistant to a product manager. It's not your role to support another PM to do better work. Like I said, it can be something small, but you should be having some amount of ownership and accountability on the team as well. That's how you learn. So make sure the place you join has a culture for that as well, right?
Makes sense.
I think the last point, not as important, but it always helps if you're excited about the domain and the overall mission of the company in general. If you're excited about education, if you're excited about finance, reach out to startups working in the areas you're passionate about, the domains that you think would make you really excited to wake up every morning and work, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of it. I'd also like to add that don't wait to become an APM to do this product work if it makes you excited. Try to build products right in college. Maybe learn no-code tools like Bubble or make friends with developers. I mean, there are developers all around you in engineering college. And try to solve small problems you see around you.
Mm-hmm.
My friends and I, like I said, we launched a lot of stuff on the Play Store. We solved really, really small problems with simple websites or even Google Forms, but they had real users. So like you mentioned earlier, maybe just a cafeteria product, something which is very specific to your college. I think that's invaluable experience. It's irreplaceable. If you solve a really small problem with just 10 real users, but if you solve it effectively, that's much better than a really big problem that you solve in a case study, right?
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's it. Thanks for listening, and feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn if you have any specific questions. Also, do check out PM School's resources. They're awesome. They'll really help you break into PM. And yeah, good luck.
Super. Thanks, Anushka. Thank you so much for joining us. This is wonderful. And I think our listeners now understand what an APM does a lot better. So thank you for coming in and sharing your story with us.
No, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to Product Bytes, a section where we get you familiar with some PM lingo. Today, we'll talk about OKRs. OKRs, or Objectives and Key Results, is a goal-setting framework for defining and tracking objectives and their outcomes. Now, let's look at an example. Assume you're a PM working at a digital service company, and your goal is to basically increase the engagement. Your objective is to delight your customers, therefore increasing engagement, and your key results for this could be that you want to reduce cancellation rates from X percent to Y percent. You want to increase your net promoter score from X to Y. You want to improve your average weekly visits per active user from X to Y. Or you want to increase organic traffic from X to Y. And you want to increase your engagement. Let's assume it's LinkedIn, for example, and you want them to complete their profiles. So you want to improve their engagement from X to Y. Anushka is this ball of energy. I had such a fun time speaking with her, and I hope you folks now have a better understanding of the APM role in the industry. One takeaway is that there's never a bad time to get started. If you think this role is made for you, don't wait and dive into product management. You can experience what a PM does by stepping into the shoes of a product manager with PM School's live program. Check out pmschool.io and apply now. We're available on all major podcast streaming apps, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Make sure you've subscribed to us to be notified about every new episode. We also want to hear from you about what questions you'd like us to answer in the next set of episodes. We'll be back with another one very soon. Until then, stay curious and stay safe. This is your host, Arjav Jain, signing off.